San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast to Oregon, and up to Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. If you have an app for 760 KFMB, you can hear us on your smartphone. And we are streaming live on 760KFMB.com. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a best-selling author. He's an accomplished marathon runner. And he is a family office expert advising many high-net-worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
Joe, I'm great. Welcome back to town from Chicago. So did you fly in with the Cubs or did you fly in with the Blackhawks and drive down from L.A.?
Well, no, I flew in.
Oh, by yourself?
Yeah, actually, you're not going to believe who was on the plane when I get back.
Who's that? But,
Bill Lirak's mother-in-law, right in the front row.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I flew with Hannah all the way back and got her to her husband at baggage claim when we landed.
Good.
But you, as you know, last Thursday when I landed, I left here and leaving fires and 97-degree weather. Landed in Chicago, and it was 48 degrees in May.
So, and you had shorts on, huh?
And I had shorts
on. Way to go, man.
And but anyway, my congratulations to Elise and Mike and their big, fat Jewish Catholic wedding. They got married in the oldest church, Old St. Patrick's in Chicago, built in 1850, survived the Chicago fire of 1871, and had a wonderful reception in the Chicago Cultural Center. Was just a magnificent day, a wonderful day. I don't know if I'll ever see anything quite like that again.
Good. Well, we had fun without you.
Yeah, I heard the show.
We had a lot of fun.
Yes, we always have fun. That's the main deal. Anyway, how about we get? Oh, you have some announcements.
Oh, just
tonight.
A couple quick announcements. Couple of running bits of running news. Tomorrow morning, Sunday morning in Vista, right before the Vista Strawberry Fest itself, we have the Vista Strawberry Fest 10K and 5K. That's one of my babies. I'm the founder of that event. Mm-hmm. So if you got nothing to do in the morning, come out and run either 6.2 miles or 3.1 before the big Vista Strawberry Fest, benefiting a bunch of great causes in the city of Vista. And second thing, Thursday night, June 5th at the old Balboa Stadium, Jim Ryan is in town for the 50th anniversary of becoming the first high school boy ever to break the 4-minute mile barrier for, you know, running 1 mile. And so there's a bunch of kids races, kids 1-milers from about 5:30 to 7. I think Jim is presenting at 7:30. And then they bring out the elites and the masters. And I'm running the 1-miler in the celebrity media 1 mile at, I think, 8:35 on Thursday night, June 5th. That's at Balboa Stadium. We have information about that up on the website, or you can go to competitor.com/Jim Ryan, and he spells it R-Y-U-N.
Or iymoney.com, right?
It's up there. It's on our website, too, iymoney.com.
There we go.
Hey, well, let's get to our guests.
Yeah, but 15,000 people in Vista, right? It's a big deal, right?
At the Strawberry Fest, there'll be about 5,000 runners.
Yeah, and then this thing, Balboa Stadium, that's in a historic site, too.
That's a historic site, too, in terms of track in San Diego.
Not only was that the only site, the site of our only championship in this town as far as football.
The Chargers.
The Beatles played there.
The Beatles played there.
1968 and probably many other things I don't know about. But
absolutely. Oh, by the way, Vista Strawberry Fest, 5K and 10K. Chocolate strawberries at the finish line. Yeah.
All right. Then you'll have to run again to burn
exactly.
those off. Anyway, we've got two VIP guests tonight, Richard. I think we should get right into it. One is an encore appearance.
Yes.
This gentleman was a Vietnam veteran. He's was a prosecutor in Los Angeles and has a storied career in law in San Diego. Graduate of USD Law School.
Joe Terreras.
1982. Many other things we can get into, but let's bring him on right now. Candidate for District Attorney Bob Brewer. Bob, how are you tonight?
Good evening, Joe. Richard, good evening.
Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
How's the campaign been going? How many debates have you had so far?
Well, we've had several forums, and mm-hmm. we've had one debate where that I can recall that all three of us showed up, the KPBS,
yeah, that's
one.
Okay.
You can mention it.
I'm sorry. And we've had several forums, mm-hmm. and then we have one next week on the 28th, mm-hmm. which is the last debate before the election on June 3rd.
And I guess the TV ads are going to start stacking up now, right? I mean, that's the way it goes. You kind of do the last push at the
end. And they've already been some, and there'll be more.
Mm-hmm. Although I did go absentee. Did you vote absentee, Richard?
I haven't voted yet.
You vote absentee or do you go to the polling
place?
No,
I'll go to the poll.
Okay. I like to mail it in.
Yeah. Yeah, mail it in, Joe. Sort of like the Cubs last night.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Richard, what's your best time for the mile?
My best time for the I only started running in my late 40s. My best time for the miles is 6:02. I haven't been able to break six.
It's still pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Tell me about that. Who did we have on that gentleman, that young kid who ran in high school?
We had Lucas Verzbikas on the show just before Thanksgiving because he was running in my Oceanside event, but he is the fastest two-miler in the history of high school in this country with a 429 or 428?
Something like that. Unbelievable.
Per mile. It was like an 828 or an 829, a 414 pace for a two-miler.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
He's in Wikipedia.
Yeah.
But he came out for your turkey
trot. Not that far from your hometown of Chicago, Joe.
Right. And he ran in your turkey trot.
Exactly.
In November.
Yeah. So Lucas Verzbikas. Yeah. Great guy.
I was a pole vaulter.
Nice.
Yes, in high school.
Nice. The Fosbury flop.
No. I had a pole.
You had a pole. Okay. Oh, okay. Not a high jumper. He's a high jumper. That's right.
Pole vaulting, that's a tough.
That's a hard sport.
That's a good way to dislocate your shoulder.
Exactly.
That's all right. But anyway, so you've had four debates and some coming up here. So what salient points have you been experiencing so far, Bob, and how have you been countering them? Or what would you like to discuss tonight regarding
I've never been a candidate before, so it's been an interesting process. We have 10 days and a wake-up, as we say, but who's counting? It's been a fascinating experience. I've met some wonderful people. I'm amazed at how many people really care about local government and ask some very, very good questions. I'm also disappointed in the number of people that don't know what the district attorney does. And there's been an educational situation in many meetings, which is fine. But it's a very, very important job.
Yeah.
And I love to ask people what they think is the most impactful person they can elect, and you get the sheriff and the supervisor and a mayor, and then I remind them that none of those, they're all very important positions, but none of those people can indict you.
Right.
Or put you in jail.
Right.
And so the district attorney is a very, very important job. And my motto is, or slogan of this campaign is public safety without politics.
Mm.
And I'm going to remove politics from that office. I'll never endorse anybody for anything ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never run for another office. I'm going to be apolitical, nonpartisan, and be a prosecutor.
Is that what compelled you to get in the race in the first place? You thought the office was being misused for political purposes?
The tipping point for me was when the incumbent, Bonnie Dumanis, who I respect for her public service, I want to say, but when she announced she was running for mayor 70 days after she was sworn into her third term, I just found that to be
disturbing.
A very, very bad judgment because she's supposed to be the district attorney, and it's obvious that she didn't want the job because right after she was sworn in, she tried for another job. If you know anything about organizational leadership, that sends a terrible message. And this is an organization of 1,000 employees, $160 million budget. And she spent 17 months basically telling the office, I don't want this job, I want that job.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a deleterious effect on the office. It had a very bad effect on law enforcement. And it was just sending the wrong message.
Yeah. It also created sort of a conflict of interest with regard to the Mayor Filner situation, in my humble opinion.
Well, I completely agree because she ran against Mr. Filner for 17 months and then endorsed Carl DeMaio, when Mr. Filner got in problems, she had to disqualify the entire office.
And
she had to recuse the office because of the conflict of interest. There are layers and layers of conflicts of interest. And then, of course, she's in the middle of a fundraising scandal, the largest fundraising scandal in the history of this county.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of Mayor Filner, the lady who initiated a lot of the movement to have him removed, Donna Frye, has contacted you and supported your candidacy, correct?
Donna Frye is one of my endorsers, and I appreciate it very much. We had a wonderful lunch. We talked about she wanted to know what I stood for. She wanted to know about my background. And she also joined me in a recent press conference when we asked for the disclosure of documents related to a situation that has recently been brought forth when the district attorney called the mayor of Chula Vista and asked that one of her staff members be appointed to the city council. And when the mayor said, no, we're not going to do that, 2 weeks later, everybody on the city council received a subpoena. And then that led to people being put before the grand jury, and that led to a prosecution of Steve Castaneda. And the deputy district attorney who prosecuted Mr. Castaneda did not know of the telephone call to the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And he has said that if he did know about it, he would have recused the district attorney's office from that prosecution. That's another example of a district attorney being way too political.
I wonder if under the Freedom of Information Act, maybe you can access, I don't know how much time, you know, it might take weeks and weeks, but maybe you can access it.
Well, we were, there, another case, a companion case of another individual who pled guilty to a misdemeanor. The lawyer of that individual filed a motion to have that conviction expunged and reversed, and he filed a, or he served a subpoena for the documents, but the hearing on that subpoena is not going to be until the 10th of June, and the election is the 3rd of June. She's trying to run the clock out.
Yeah. You know, you've been picking up a lot of good endorsements. I went on your website, which is, let's give the website, brewerforda.com, right?
Yes, brewerforda.com.
Right. So you've got some high-powered attorneys, Brian Monahan, Vince Bartolotta, and,
yes,
and any others you care to mention that are...
Oh, I have some wonderful endorsements. I have many, many of the most respected lawyers in town. But I also have four former San Diego U.S. attorneys who've endorsed me. I have two former California attorney generals, John Vandekamp and George Duke Magian, have endorsed me.
Hmm.
I've been endorsed by Father Joe Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
I've been endorsed by 98% of all of the law enforcement associations in the county. I've been endorsed by associations which represent over 100,000 police officers throughout the state. I've been endorsed by the California Highway Patrol. So the endorsements are there. I'm clearly law enforcement's choice for this job.
You know, about 20 of the 24 or 22 of the 24.
Yes, 98%.
So anyway, I think it's about time to take a break. We'll be right back with the nonpartisan Bob Brewer right after this. Hang on.
AM 760. Now, it's your money and your life on AM 760 KFMB.
All right, we are back with more of It's Your Money in Your Life with the decline to state his party, Bob Brewer. Bob, that is that's admirable. You know, we need a good independent candidate in a lot of offices in this country, and it's great that you're doing that here. So,
well, it's the main really plank of my platform is no politics, and I'm not a member of any party. I'm declined to state. I'm going to stay that way. I'm nonpartisan.
Well, you know, it's obvious that the DA can do a lot of, I guess, harm by using their office as a political wedge and, you know, going after people for just for political purposes rather than for legal ones or whatever, right? So I think that's what you have a problem with.
Well, I think this Castaneda case is an example of that.
Yeah.
And what about the Dronenberg situation?
Well, it's really interesting because in 2007, when the district attorney announced her public integrity unit, she said that she was not going to endorse anybody except for what she now says is unusual circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And then she qualified that even further to say that would be in public safety elections. And now she's endorsed the assessor of the county. And that has nothing to do with public safety. And it's just another example of what is the district attorney endorsing anyone for anything. I mean, the district attorney should be out of politics, and that is the perfect example of why without politics is so important.
And he's controversial because he would not issue licenses for same-sex marriages, even though it's been deemed legal and constitutional in this state, right?
Yes, but it doesn't fit within any classification that she ever tried to justify endorsements for.
Right. So
that's why I just don't understand it.
You're pledging never to endorse any candidate if you become DA, correct?
I will not endorse anyone for anything ever, and that includes judges, because this district attorney regularly endorses judges, and I think that's totally inappropriate, because if a judge that she endorses sits on the bench and that judge hears criminal cases, they're going to be employees of the district attorney that appear before that judge. What are the optics of that to the other side of the courtroom?
Mm.
And that's something that she just doesn't seem to either care about. But that's the district attorney should not be endorsing judges, in my opinion.
Now, I noticed elder abuse is on your agenda of areas that need drastic improvement. I did hear someone from the DA's office the other morning talk about they were on TV, so obviously you must be moving the debate to address that. But this gentleman said, I've been working on this 18 years, but no statistics as to actually what they're doing. He had some tips on how you can address it. But What do you intend to do when you get in there, Bob, regarding elder abuse?
Well, this is a huge topic, and I started talking about this 10 months ago, and both of the other candidates now, it's one of the top things that they talk about, and it should be because it's a very, very serious area. When I'm the district attorney, that right now, this one individual, there's been one individual who's been in charge of the elder abuse area for the last 11 years, Paul Greenwood. He is a very talented lawyer. Don't ever, I will never say anything against him. He knows it. He's nationally renowned. But he doesn't have any lawyers working for him. And I've talked to him. I also have spoken to a group of elder law lawyers in this county who specialize in elder law. And they all told me of numerous referrals that they have made to the district attorney's office, and nothing is done. And the response is, we just don't have the people.
Yeah, they, they have no capacity whatsoever.
Well, they have 320 lawyers.
But I mean, in terms of that particular issue, they just don't...
Well, their priorities are...
Well, it's going to be a priority of mine.
Greenwood has no capacity behind him. It's not a priority.
Well,
it's sad.
It's going to be a priority. I have a 93-year-old mother who is in great shape, and in twice in the past 18 months... they have tried to scam her on the phone, telling her that she had a grandson in jail in Mexico and that she was supposed to send $1,250 to a Western Union address. And this has happened twice. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. What I'm going to do here in San Diego is five deputy DAs are going to be assigned to work with Paul Greenwood. We're going to have an appropriate number of investigators. It's going to get a significant amount of attention when I'm a district attorney. We're going to have outreach programs. We're going to have educational programs. We're going to talk about the people who should report and make sure that they know that they should report. And we're going to put these people who prey on seniors in jail.
Good. Make an example out of a few people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Bob, moving from the elderly to young people, we had Sarah Boot on, who's running for Mayor Faulkner's district seat, and she mentioned that her district that she's running for is sort of the epicenter of human trafficking of young people here.
Yes.
What are you planning to do about that issue? Because it's an issue that doesn't really get much press because it's such a disturbing thing to even have to think about.
Well, it is. And I'm glad you brought that up, Richard, because, again, that's one of the areas I'm going to focus on. It's very curious that, again, the district attorney's talking about it. Prop 35, which was on the ballot in 2012, which enhanced the penalties for human trafficking and was a significant move to help fight that problem. She didn't endorse Prop 35. It passed by 81% of the voters in this state, and the District Attorney of San Diego did not endorse it. But what I'm going to do in the human trafficking area, and I brought with me Michael Ramos, who is the District Attorney of San Bernardino, has set up a marvelous program. It's called CASE, Coalition Against Sexual Exploitation. And let me just read you the mission statement, because I'm not at all adverse to copying what works. And if it works someplace else, let's bring it here. And
have you put off seeing the dentist because you can't afford...
Forget the dentist. Let's get to it.
But
we've got a trainee on the board.
Is it something
it just shows you. It's like pulling teeth with this new, with this existing DA. Anyway.
But the CASE is a, quote, partnership of public and private entities who have joined together to develop resources in the county to educate, prevent, intervene, and treat victims of sexual exploitation. The CASE goal is to coordinate services tailored to the characteristics and circumstances of these children, train law enforcement on investigation and detection, educate the public, and create awareness to protect children from abuse and exploitation, unquote.
Yeah, that's
that
good.
That is what I'm going to put in place in San Diego when I'm the district attorney.
Outstanding. So let's see, Richard, we have...
So June 3rd's coming up.
June 3rd is 10 days away.
10 days away.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's a very important election, and I ask for your support.
When are the next debates coming up? You have something on TV coming up, Bob?
Yes. The next debate is May 28th, Wednesday night at Shiley Auditorium.
Okay.
USD.
USD,
okay.
Yes.
Will that be televised or just...
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe
is that USD or UCSD?
No, Shiley is...
Shiley is USD.
USD.
Yeah, University of San Diego. That's right.
And the only thing I wanted to correct, and I apologize, I graduated from law school in 75, not 82.
Oh, okay. What did I say?
We were trying to make you younger, Bob. I'm sorry.
Did I say 82?
I appreciate it.
You said 82, Jim.
Oh, you moved to San Diego in
82. Moved to San Diego
in
82.
Sorry. Yeah. But no, that's all right, because I graduated in 75, then I went to L.A., where I was a deputy DA and an assistant U.S. attorney. Moved back here in 82, been here ever since.
Now, obviously, up there, it's a much bigger market and more horrendous cases and caseload. So obviously you're well seasoned for San Diego.
Had some wonderful cases up there. Had a tried a murder for hire, tried a spy case, tried the last hijacking from LAX.
You did the Zaharsky spy case, right?
And I did the Marion Zaharsky spy case.
That's a fascinating one.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, you keep getting criticized that you haven't put people in jail or whatever. I mean, my gosh, you've worked in some of the highest level of criminal law in the country, right? So
I had 65 jury trials as a prosecutor.
Okay,
so
that's a lot.
Very proud of all those.
Yeah. Outstanding. Well, Bob, we're in the home stretch. Folks, if you want to help out on his campaign, get over to Brewer4FORDA.com. And we'd like to thank you very much and wish you the best on the campaign. For DA.
And Bob, June 3rd is my birthday, too.
Richard, happy
big
birthday.
Big day. It's a big day in San Diego.
Let's get together and celebrate.
Okay, we will.
Anyway, thank you for having me on.
Our pleasure.
I really appreciate it.
All right. Much energy and much luck to you. So we'll be right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life right after this. All right, we are back for the second half of It's Your Money, the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life. And now time to go over to Richard to thank our terrific sponsors.
Thank you to our amazing sponsors, Michael Carrancha and Drew Freitas with UBS. UBS there on Prospect Street in downtown La Jolla. Across the street from UBS, also in downtown La Jolla, obviously, is Regions Bank, San Diego's best business bank, Sean Puckett and Steve Sefton. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, the best CFO company here in San Diego. One of my all-time favorites, Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Boy, has he really helped my family office with that over the past year. Carl Sheeler and Berkeley Research Group, Business Valuation Services, helping business owners understand the risks that drive the success of their business and how to even improve by understanding those risks even better. Last week's guest, Paul Polito, CPA, Polito Epic CPAs up in Vista, Don Epic and Paul Polito. Couldn't do it without you, gents. Great show last week with Rick Day, one of their clients from way back when on the show. That was fun without you, Joe, while you were freezing your butt off in Chicago. Brenda Geiger with Geiger Law Offices. She's got a great continuing education seminar coming up on June 6th at an amazing place, the Museum of Making Music up in Carlsbad. So if you happen to be a CPA or wealth advisor, check out Geiger Law Offices. Information up on our website as well. Last but certainly not least, the Lombardi Group and the LG Experience, helping wealth advisors and CPAs become the most trusted advisor to their very best clients. And Joe, we got a lot of information about our great sponsors up on our website, don't we?
Yes. If you just get over to iymoney.com, fire up your smartphone or computer and put your cursor over sponsors. There's a drop-down menu there, and you could find out all their contact information, history, personal information of all of our sponsors there. And I know Richard has had great success with all of them for many years, right, Richard?
Many, many years, and I worked with 5 out of the 8 last week. So always busy with all these folks.
Yes. So they're personal endorsements of yours. They're not just people we find.
Exactly. They're the best and the brightest here west of the Mississippi. There's no question about that.
And we
have
them on the show from time to time, too.
Yeah, so. It's fun stuff.
Yes.
Fun stuff.
So that's great.
Hey, we got rid of the guest who doesn't have a vowel at the end of his name. So now it's just 3 Italian guys.
Well, we've got tonight in the home stretch here, we have a firefighter. He is a full-time battalion chief. He's an author. He's a business owner. He's a passionate dreamer. He's an inventor.
And he's going to go by the name Rich because there's only one Richard on this show, Rich, and that's me.
That's right. And we're going to talk about his latest book and everything else he does. His name is Rich Brocchini. So, Rich, good evening. How are you tonight?
Good evening. Thanks for having me, everybody. I really appreciate it, Joe and Richard.
Our pleasure. So, now you said you had an unconventional childhood. Do you want to talk a little bit about your background, where you went to school, or how... Were you raised in San Diego and all that? Or
yeah, it kind of took the process of whoever would take care of me at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world because it really kind of built some character and maybe who I am today. But it's interesting, the conventional childhood or unconventional. I think everybody kind of has their struggles. And I think the positive or benefit out of it is I have a message and I have something to share with people to inspire others. Very thankful for everything along the way.
Mm, there you go.
Hey,
born in San Diego, though? Or
Born in Santa Clara.
Oh, okay.
The Kaiser.
All right.
Neat. I was born just down the street.
Okay. So, where, Richard?
We lived in towns like San Jose, Sunnyvale, just right next to Santa Clara.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's where the family's from.
And then Richard went to high school where?
I did, yeah. I went to high school down here in the South Bay.
Okay.
And so I landed in San Diego in the South Bay area about 10 years old on.
Okay. Terrific.
So, Richard, you're a battalion chief. Obviously, a week and a half ago, we had huge fires again in San Diego. Is that ever going to stop, do you think? I mean, is that just something we have to put up with every 3 or 4 years?
I think it's something we're going to have to live with here in Southern California, just due to all the factors, you know, the lack of water mm-hmm. and the temperatures and all the things that we encompass. I think we're going to see those. It's going to be a common thing for us.
Mm. What inspired you to go into firefighting? What
you know, there's actually a couple of gentlemen that came to our high school for a career day, and they really inspired me to become a firefighter for the whole reason of helping others.
Mm.
And it's been a total gift and a privilege just to be able to serve others as a public servant and actually get paid to do that. It's such a privilege and a complete honor.
So right out of high school, you went into the academy?
Yeah, you know, I got involved with the program they call the Fire Explorer program, mm-hmm. and through the Boy Scouts, and was completely dedicated with that, and was very fortunate to get hired around age 21 and start my career and grow from there. So right away after high school, I knew that's exactly what I wanted to do.
So I was driving up around all the damage up in the La Costa area and so forth last week, and of course there's tons of signs up, you know, thank you to our firefighters are heroes, which they truly are. But it was amazing to see the devastation. I mean, it really was. But it's also amazing to see technically how good the work is, because you have fires burning right up to neighborhoods and then just stopping because...
Yeah, the firefighters work extremely diligently and very aggressively to do the best they can for the most. And those were some very, very tough fires that mm-hmm. took place
plus
last
so
week.
Many of them at the same time.
Yeah, so you're talking about resources and allocating resources to different incidents. And the firefighters did a very good job. And, you know, a lot of credit goes to what I would say, the boots on the ground, the firefighters and making the stops in those homes and businesses. Hats off to them. They work extremely, extremely hard.
But the crazy thing is I've been here close to 40 years. Rich and Richard, and I don't, aside from the fires alone, I mean, I don't remember ever having a Santa Ana in May, and we've had two, which is just mind-blowing to me, right? You guys remember?
Joe, there's no global warming. There's no climate.
Yeah, weather's a significant factor for us, and we forecast. So what we do, we look at what we call, there's different numbers we look at, but, you know, red flag days. It's kind of a common term we hear now in San Diego. And so that's when we staff up more resources kind of thing. We're on high alert. And it seems to be that the county, within the county of San Diego, all the respective fire departments are doing a very good job at having resources available, because we just have those red flag days very often now.
Well, I know a few years ago, actually I wrote a letter to Ron Roberts and Donna Frye when she was in office, because I had this lady from France. She's an MD, PhD, lives in North County. She says in France they have these similar Santa Ana conditions. There's two different names for them, over Mistral or something, but they have... like an Air Force just dedicated to knocking down these fires, and then we got the super tanker hired here out of Canada, but it cost $1 million, and I don't think they had the money to retain it on a long-term basis. But do you remember that super tanker they had? I mean, we had it here for one year, and it did save a lot of property, but it would have been nice to have it this time around as well.
Yeah, they were using what they call VLAT, so large air, fixed-wing aircraft, and every other aircraft they could, you know, including the military. Aircraft is very, very vital to helping with the extinguishing of these fires. So it appeared that everybody was using all the resources they could, and it's something that during these fire seasons that we in the county, definitely all the fire departments beef up with the air support.
Now, those helicopters, how do they refill? They go to a reservoir or something to refill water? They have some kind of suction device.
Yeah, they find a water source and they just suction it up.
Yeah. Man, oh man. So Richard, were you up there for the fire? I mean,
we didn't have to evacuate, but my daughter had to evacuate high school on Tuesday, and then on that Wednesday I was presenting at a hotel in Carlsbad when over lunch we had to have the entire hotel evacuated, so that ended that continuing education and event. So it took me 50 minutes to get from a hotel that's a mile from Highway 5 to Highway 5, because there's a line of cars at 10 miles per hour.
Yeah. And of course, all the parents going bananas trying to get their kids.
Oh, it felt like the apocalypse was coming.
Yeah.
It was really scary.
Yeah.
Did they catch anybody yet? You know, any suspects?
Yeah, I'm not sure any particulars of...
Because I know they said maybe a truck or something, sparks. But anyway, let's hope we don't have to experience that again for a long time.
Hey, Rich, but you're more than just a firefighter. You're an author, too.
That's true.
Joe, just so you know, Rich and I actually met at the San Diego Library's Local Authors Exhibit Awards Dinner back in February. That's where we actually met.
Oh, forgot. It was because you were on
I was an author the same year that... Yeah, everybody named Richard wrote a book in 2012.
That's right. Yeah, we met through a mutual friend.
Right.
well, we know about So What's Your Play by Richard Musio, but let's talk about Rich Brocchini's book. So which one shall we talk about?
A Fresh Reminder, right?
A Fresh Reminder.
I'm reminding you.
Okay.
Yes.
So, Rich, tell us about this book and why you wrote it and what is it about?
You know, A Fresh Reminder kind of just, it kind of sparked interest in me to write a book about reminding all of us of some of the things we should do and we kind of forget to do, from very simple to perhaps more of a serious level, and then some funny things as well throughout the book you can read. But simple things like, you know, take 10 minutes by yourself every single day, away from everybody, drink plenty of water, you know, take your shopping cart back. How to establish...
How come nobody takes their shopping cart?
You know, right? I don't know why. I see that all the time.
I do, when it's especially when the place where I want to park.
Yeah, yeah, of course. There's a cart you use. Yeah. You know, there's several different chapters in here, and I don't claim to be an expert, respectively. I just reminded everybody, kind of, these are some things that can help us.
That 10 minutes, well, you know, they're talking about mindfulness now and everything else. You know, that's,
yeah, intentionality, that's about what you're doing.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Breathing. Breathe. I mean, they have all these new breathing exercises. They say that's great for stress and all these other things.
But you sort of have a theme behind some of the things that you write, right?
Yeah, yeah, I do, definitely. And
that theme is?
Well, you know, I think
one of my favorite topics.
Leadership.
Leadership.
Yeah, yeah. Leadership, yeah, has definitely become something that's important to me because it allows people to grow. And it's... Leadership is an interesting thing because we're not born with it. It's not in our DNA. We learn it. It's like, mm-hmm, we play on guitar. Mm-hmm. It becomes something we learn. And leadership is about inspiring others. And that's initially what this book kind of was the hopes to do, was to inspire others. And it spawned off from that to I'm in the process of writing three other books right now. And so, yeah, leadership is a fun thing. And I know you do your keynotes speaking.
We talk about leadership a lot on this show because we talk about wealth being much more than just money. It's people, it's knowledge, it's you know, how you empower people, how you innovate, how you lead change.
Sure.
It's all of that, and that's all very important stuff.
Well, I tell you what, let's save some important stuff and some top secret information that you're going to have for us, Rich, because we're going to take a break right now, and we'll come right back after these announcements.
760 now. It's your money and your life on AM 760 KFMB.
All right, we're back in the home stretch with the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life with our special guest, Battalion Chief Rich Brocchini. So where'd we leave off? We're talking about leadership, right, Richard?
Well, we're talking about the book, too. We're talking about a fresh reminder. You're on Amazon, right, Rich?
We're on Amazon, yep.
Okay, and then do you have a separate website for the book, too?
Right now we do. It's called afreshreminder.com.
Okay, afreshreminder.com.
Rediscover what you already know. So anyway, we're talking about leadership and some tips something.
Well, besides being a battalion chief and besides being an author, you're also an entrepreneur, right?
That's true.
What do you own?
We own a coffee company called Third Alarm Coffee.
And what does Third Alarm have to do with fighting fires?
So, well, Third Alarm, actually, our name has two meanings. So, okay. Third Alarm is big fire. Okay. A lot of resources there. And also, a Third Alarm, like when you get up in the morning. So, the alarm goes off, you hit the snooze okay, goes off, you turn it off, and then your Third Alarm is going to be your Third Alarm coffee you drink before you head out the door.
There you go.
Yeah.
Bada bing.
Double me.
What made you interested in coffee, besides the fact that you've got to stay awake for hours on end doing what you do?
Yeah, coffee's pretty intimate with us in the firehouse. But we've always been interested in coffee many, many years ago, but decided to follow my passion of being a public servant. And then after some years of being obviously in public service, decided to give coffee a try. So we've been around for about 4 years and extremely thankful for the success we're having, and we're continuing to grow.
You've got some pretty cool customers. Can you name some on the air, or is that not appropriate?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're very proud of our customers, especially here locally in San Diego, because local is important for us. And any customer that purchases or provides our product is actually supporting firefighters across our great nation. And so we have actually some of the different divisions we do. One of them is hospitality. So we have three hotels in San Diego that are using our coffee for their in-room coffee, the little K-cups. And that's the Andaz, which is located downtown, and then the Dana Hotel, and then the Pacific Terrace. And the Dana Pacific Terrace, those are the Bartell hotels.
Yeah.
And so that's the coffee they provide in their room, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah, I saw you a few months ago at an event at the Dana. It was Greg Greed's Secret Knock event. Yeah, that's right.
Great event.
So, Rich, what notable guests were you thinking of, Richard, when you asked the question? Is there some...
I was talking generically.
Oh, okay.
But what interests me is you when you say you're involved in leadership in the community, you don't just sell coffee and make a lot of money doing that. You give something back, right?
Yeah, you know, that's social purpose is extremely important. That's what the foundation of this company started with. You know, very lucky to be in a very fortunate position. So it wasn't like we started a company to just make money. You know, we started a company with a purpose behind it, and we wanted to maintain community involvement. And so we help here locally. We've donated in time and product and also money for a few local nonprofits, the San Diego Burn Institute and the Chelsea's Light Foundation, numerous religious organizations and elementary schools. But we're really intimate with a nationwide organization called the Firefighter Cancer Support Network. And they're a great organization that aids in cancer prevention awareness throughout the fire service and also when firefighters are diagnosed with cancer. And it's a staggering number that one in three firefighters will be diagnosed with cancer. It's much higher than the general population. And my father is a cancer survivor, so it's near and dear to my heart as well. And we've known numerous firefighters and their family members that have been affected by cancer. So it's a real partnership. We're very proud of it, and we're very thankful for what the FCSN does.
Yeah, I mean, most people don't know because of the work that firefighters have to do.
Is it because of the smoke and chemicals that come in contact
chemicals,
with
smoke,
so much?
Heat.
Yeah.
So what are the most common types of cancers that that they endure?
You know, it runs a gamut. Skin cancer obviously is very prominent, but it's a huge list of you name it, and firefighters seem to be diagnosed with it.
Lung lymphoma, leukemia, all of that.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. It's a saddening statistic, but it's part of our reality that we incur, you know, serving people.
But it's nice when you help people and people right when you're you have some good survivor stories.
We have some great survivor stories, and FCSN, you know, their website's amazing to take a look at and see their story as well. And you know, the goal of Third Alarm Coffee was to provide a quality product and also leave something behind and not just be a corporation to make profit, but to help as well.
And the website for Third Alarm Coffee Company is?
ThirdAlarmCoffee.com.
There you go.
ThirdAlarmCoffee.com.
All spelled out.
All spelled out, yes.
There you go. So
that's neat stuff.
And the book,
thank you.
And the book is AFreshReminder.com.
AFreshReminder.com, yes.
Okay.
So your underlying theme is sort of leadership, right?
It's all about leadership, yeah.
And do you go out and talk about that in public?
You know, I don't right now, but the goal is to start doing some keynote speaking and do that with perhaps some organizations, senior leadership staff in different companies. And so I'm looking forward to doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of our favorite topics. I think to the extent you can empower people, to the extent you can get people involved in community causes, it's so powerful. Giving money to causes is good too, but I think when you combine people's networks and knowledge and time and talent, that's where things really get scalable for benefiting community. So it's cool that you're doing that.
Thank you very much.
Can you talk about the other books you're planning to write, or is that premature?
You know, it's a little bit premature with some of them. They're in the process, but one book is on leadership, and the other book is on customer service, and another book is on more about life.
Okay.
And then your first book before this, what was that titled again? Because this is your second book, right?
Well, I co-authored a book.
Co-authored.
Yeah, how to become a firefighter. Actually, and they use that at some of the junior college level.
Oh, neat.
With another firefighter buddy of mine.
And cool. And the title of that is, refresh me.
Well, yes, you may be thinking of things you should do but don't, but that turned into a fresh reminder. So,
okay.
The other book is how to become a firefighter.
Okay. That's
another. What was your biggest challenge writing a fresh reminder? Or what didn't you know about writing a book that you wish you had known before you started?
You know, pretty much everything. And I think that's what's the great thing is that, you know, and you talk about leadership and you talk about writing, and you're correct. It all goes hand in hand. And I think, you know, it was a process that I learned. And we have a mutual friend that inspires others. And it's about doing it. It's about just getting down and doing it. And this book obviously went through several revisions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're an author as well. And I'm not a writer by trade, but I think I have a message to get out to help inspire others. And you know, it's something that if hire your weaknesses, work your strengths. And that's kind of what I did with this process and what I continue to do.
Yeah, the thing I didn't know was that the editing and copy editing would take five times as long as the actual writing.
Yes.
But your book's a lot of fun though, Rich. I'm looking, I mean, the graphics and the way it's laid out, there's a lot of cute visuals in there. And it's not just text, folks. There's a lot of, you know, images in there. And so...
And that was the goal. The goal of this book was for anybody to leave it on their coffee table or end table and to have somebody come over and pick it up, open it to any page, and be able to get something out of it and walk away with it.
And it was endorsed by Wynn Claybaugh. Who is that? I know who that is, but tell our listeners who Wynn Claybaugh is.
Yeah, so Wynn Claybaugh, a great man. He is the co-founder of Paul Mitchell Schools. And also, besides an entrepreneur and business person, you know, he's an author as well and a great speaker.
He's got a great book out, too. But
outstanding. Wow, we are in the home stretch
here. Hey, we have time.
Yes, we are. So, hey, Rich, why don't you play some music, Justin, because we're on our way.
Hey, everybody, Vista Strawberry Fest tomorrow morning.
There you go.
Come on out.
Thank you to Bob Brewer, candidate for DA, for being our guest tonight. And thank you to Rich Brocchini for being with us tonight. Good luck with all your ventures. Richard, good seeing you again and glad
to be
back.
Welcome home, Joe. Glad you made it.
Yes, sir. So next week it's going to be County Assessor candidate Susan Gwynn and psychotherapist Dr. Krista Roybal. She'll help us all, so including Justin Hart on our soundboard tonight and the dentist back there. And thank you to Craig Blanke, our con executive, and to Dave Sniff, our programming director. You have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week on It's Your Money and Your Life, iymoney.com. For all the podcasts. Good night.